Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you oh so much for the many, many blessings you've poured upon us all throughout this beautiful day. And now the awesome opportunity and blessing of being able to get back into your word. Help us now as we do that. Please be with us as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word love, if you will turn to the small epistles of John in 1 John in chapter 5. We can see here that the epistles of John are focused around the love of God, and the love we have for each other. And here in chapter 5, it reads, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." And that's talking about the love that we have for the brethren, love of each other, that he tells us that that's part of the evidence that we love God. A commandment that we do that, but also the evidence that we have that relationship with God. It is by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. His commandments are for our benefit. And that's the whole focus on that, is that it's not grievous. It's not an overwhelming burden that we keep the commandments. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It is our faith in God and in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Word being Jesus Christ. Reason, these three are one, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The records that we have, the witnesses that we have written down, the eyewitnesses that interacted with Jesus Christ, all these things that are recorded and preserved for us are what he's talking about. The things that he himself has written down, that the Lord gave him to write down, as well as the other apostles and the prophets and so forth, are there to give us the guidance that we need and give us the assurance that we need, and knowing that we have eternal life to look forward to. As he continues, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it." Like, if you're in the midst of a sin and you die in that sin, you cannot then pray in the behalf of that individual that has sinned and get forgiveness for that person. He's all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. This is talking about a continuous, blatant, wide-open sin that is in defiance of the will of the Lord. If they are doing that, then it's clear they're not Christian. This is not talking about if we backslide and stumble a little bit and then get back to the Lord and pray for forgiveness, because He made provision for that for us when He told us in chapter 2 of 1 John, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So we have provision. We have the advocate, Jesus Christ. And then back up there in chapter 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So if we do stumble, if we do mess up, take it to the Lord. But if you're in a wide open blatant sin and you're just repeating it over and over, have no remorse, no sense of conviction, then you're not connected anyway. You're not a Christian anyway. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. When we have that close relationship with the Lord, Satan has no influence on us. We resist the devil and he flees from us, like it tells us in James. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. The small epistles of John there, the first one that he sent out to go out to the Christians, go out to give them guidance, give them support, give them confidence, and let us know about the love that we have and the evidence of the love that we have of God when we turn around and love others as well that are the brethren. We are to have a love for everyone and a concern for their well-being, but there's a special love that we have for other Christians. All right, roll right on into the second letter of John, which also has a reference to love in it, in 2 John. And pick it right up here in chapter 1. Well, it's only one chapter, so the small letter of 2 John, where it reads, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth." That's the focus on this short letter as it continues. "For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I have found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." That love is what really shows the difference, makes the difference in a relationship with God and with a relationship with the Satan, with the world, with ungodliness. Is the difference there is the love. The true concern for someone else's well-being, the consideration for someone else's well-being. And it's evident when we see the behaviors of indigent, the interactions with each other. Is that love truly there? And then he goes on further here, talking about some of the deceivers in verse 7. "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So if there's anyone or anything or any religion out there that denies that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come in the flesh and paid the ultimate price for us, that died on that cross and rose again the third day, has stuck around some 40 days preaching and teaching, ascended to the Father, sits on the right hand of the Father, our great high priest. Anyone denies that, then they are antichrist and they are a deceiver. Anyone or any religion out there. As he continues, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Showing us here that it is possible for us to become defiant and lose our rewards. Burn up some of the things that we've already achieved or acquired and come judgment day. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. So those that are out there that are going and trying to recruit others to come into their false religions, you're not to have anything to do with them, not bring them in and welcome them and give them donations and encourage them to continue their antichrist religion. No. It's for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. And when you do such things, you're burning up your rewards. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. And that's talking about that love and to look out for those deceivers out there. All right, now let's look at the next letter of John, another short letter, and this is an example of forgiveness and love, as we see here in the third letter of John, where it reads, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles." Let's talk about helping each other out, supporting each other to be able to stay in the ministry and continue the task the Lord has given, to be generous in that way, to assist others. It reads, "We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doeth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." Here he's talking about an individual that is a troublemaker, that has infiltrated a church, that sounds like he's more of antichrist than a Christian, because he doesn't have that love and generosity and welcoming and charity, which is that concern for someone else's well-being, to the point that he'll even cast someone out of the church. Verse 11, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. He's given an endorsement to Demetrius, and it's believed that Demetrius had been a bit of a problem for Gaius, and he's instructing her here that Demetrius is now a Christian, and to greet him, and he has a good report, he's good reputation. But this Diotrephes is the one who wants the attention, he wants the preeminence, he's not showing the love. So we have the example of someone who is loving and forgiving. We have the example of this lady Gaius, who is a loving person and shows it by her welcoming and assistance to others and support. And then you have the other that wants to kick people out of the church if they're not contributing, if they're not doing what he wants them to do. Yield to his way or hit the road. All right, now let's go to Jude. Small book of Jude, the small letter, I should say. And get right into it, because here we also see a reference to our study word, love. As it reads, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained in this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord encountered these kind of individuals he's talking about, some of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the lawyers and so forth, called them vipers. And here he's pointing these folks out as well. They were religious elites, but they were not godly. They were in it for their own glory, their own profit as well. Back into it in verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Given us some examples of the judgments coming upon the ungodly. As he continues, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Notice here, we need to know who does a better job of rebuking and paybacks, and vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So when you're going up against these infiltrators, these ungodly ones, people to come in just to create a disturbance, you lift them up to the Lord and let the Lord take care of that. And then here's an example of these. We see a lot going on today. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Those protesters, you see a big rise up. They're ignorant protesters, and they are corrupting themselves and going to pay the price. They will be destroyed, as it says here, if they don't get forgiveness. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korim. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, in whom we reserve the blackness of darkness forever. That's quite a description of the ungodly that are out there, the troublemakers. We've seen a lot of troublemakers in recent years, and it is on the increase, and will continue to be on the increase to the last day. And it's a shame. There's so much of that going on. But we can see that that opens a door of opportunity for us to stand out that much more bright and brilliant and influential, when we can stay away from such things and stand up for peace and stand up for love, not the hatred that is being spewed out by so many. And a real shame and a horrible testimony of the recent things that we've seen at these universities, the so-called centers of higher learning, that have become indwelt with this satanic behavior. And it's on the increase. We got to help them. We got to pray for them. We got to stop that if we can by praying as much as we can and living a good God-glorifying life in front of them. As it continues, verse 14. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. And that's what we're seeing a lot of. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, that Spirit of God. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Focusing on that prayer. Keep our relationship true. Keep our relationship with the Lord. And share that with others as well. Praying in the Holy Ghost, allowing the Holy Ghost to communicate with us, listening to the Holy Ghost, submitting to the influence of the Holy Ghost, being filled with all that love, and turning around and sharing that love, even with those filthy sinners out there. Love them, be concerned for their well-being as well, and pray for them. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. See, that's the focus. If we can stay in that love and not have the bitterness and resentment for these ungodly folks that are out there, even when they're doing things that harm us, the persecutions, the threats, and even the abuses that we would receive from the ungodly, we still got to be concerned for their well-being. Verse 21 again, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. After all, we see what Jesus Christ did for us, the love that he shared with all of us, and the love that he displayed in sacrificing himself, taking on all the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future. That kind of love. We need to be loving and caring for others, even all those filthy sinners out there, because Jesus Christ paid the price for even all their sin, recognizing that, knowing that, and keep ourselves in that love. Once again, verse 21, which is the whole focus of Jude, is this love of the brethren and concern for the world as well, that love. Verse 21 again, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference. Notice some of those out there that we can have compassion for. Those are the ungodly ones that are going down a wrong pathway. Try to reach them if we can. Verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Love. The love that we need to have, the love that we need to share, the love that comes from God that can flow through us into the world. We see a few more references to the word love in the seven letters in the beginning of Revelation in chapters 1, 2, and 3. But let's jump on over to the ultimate thing that he has in store for us for eternity, which shows his love for us, in that he's going to allow us to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years during the millennial kingdom, as you can read in chapters 20 of Revelation. And also, we see what we have to look forward to for eternity in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And then he says in chapter 22, verse 12 and 13, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That is so awesome. The grace, the mercy, the blessings, the love, and the promise we have to look forward to for eternity. That is so awesome, the things that he has done for us and is doing for us and will do for us for eternity. So let's keep in mind those two great commandments in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Receive the love and share the love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for the love that you have displayed, the love that you pour upon us each and every day. Help us all to realize that we can then in turn share that love with the world out there, to shine your light and to share your love so that others can see the pathway to come to you, to become a joint heir with you and us that have trusted in you, and be looking forward to the promises that you just gave us there in Revelation. The new heaven and the new earth, to be able to dwell right with us and to be like you for eternity. We truly thank you for the love. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Thank y'all.